If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You know what you do after you run the ball on first and 10 and you get 0 yards? You run that ball again. You establish that run.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Got a very special guest here today, and usually I feel like a long introduction for someone who's accomplished a lot of things makes a lot of sense. But I feel like if I just say Jamal Charles is here, like a Saturday Night Live intro, I think pretty much everybody watching or listening right now is going to know everything that comes with it. Jamal, thank you for making some time to talk to us today. And it's good to see you. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I tweeted out yesterday. I didn't want to give away too many hints. So I just said, you know, one of the greatest running backs of all time. One of the greatest Chiefs running backs of all time, great running back at Texas. I think people may have figured it out. And there was a lot of excitement for people to be able to hear you. It's been a little bit since we've heard from you on a regular basis around here. You retired a Chief a couple years ago, got to go through the facilities and see Andy Reid, and again, took a handoff from Patrick Mahomes. But what was that experience like, and what have you been up to these last couple of years?
Oh, man, I've been enjoying myself, my family. I got a great partnership with Main Event through November 30 throughout the Kansas City area. Jamal Charles family package just for $24.99 per person, one VHR game and one 10-game cards and one unlimited access to like bowling and brilliance of laser tags and unlimited fountain drinks and one large pizza for the group. So I've been kicking it with Main Event.
It's great. Again, you can get this at any of the three Kansas City area locations, Kansas City, Missouri, and Olathe, and in Independence. Again, just under $25 per person for everything that Jamal just laid out there. What's your personal favorite thing at Main Event? I did see the gravity ropes. I did that one time, yeah. And then I will spend my time doing something else. Getting high up off the ground and standing on ropes, not for me. But, you know, I've never been particularly agile. That's not true for you.
My kids definitely like the gravity rope. They had fun. Me, I was enjoying my drink and eating my pizza and just just laughing at them. They waving at me like I'm far off, but I'm just right there. They waving me, hey dad. And I'm waving back at them. Hey, be safe up there. And they try to get me to come up there. I'm like, oh man, maybe one day.
Yeah, I think you've probably sort of proven your athletic prowess and your, you know, feet skills. I don't think anyone should probably be questioning that. Well, I'm going to talk more about Main Event in a minute as well. Make sure everyone gets all that information. Yeah. But I also want to ask about some of the things you accomplished over the course of your career and some truly like incredible things. I know this is going to just sound like blind flattery, but it's also true. Like, I have never seen anyone play the sport of football like you did. Like, watching you run through a defense, it seemed like you were on ice skates and everybody else was like chopping through quicksand. What was it like to be playing football that way at the peak of your powers, knowing that you must have known, I would think, that you had something that other guys just simply didn't have?
Yeah, I mean, every time I stepped on the field, I wanted to play like a future Hall of Fame. And, you know, so that's why, you know, I guess that was my mindset. You know, so I want to play this game. I want to be one of the greatest up there, mentioned one of the greatest. And that was my goal, is to continue to build my craft, get good at my craft. So every time I stepped on the field, people know that I had a household name. You know what I'm saying? I was planning to see my jersey throughout the stadium. You know, I wanted to pull up to the stadium and see 25. And that was, you know, my mindset. My mindset was like, okay, I want to see a whole bunch of kids with Jamal Charles jerseys on. And that's why every time I try to step in the field, I wanted to, you know what I'm saying, I was doing it for people that had total disability, you know what I'm saying, growing up. So that they said that they would never be nothing. And that was one of my goals as well. But every time, I know if I practice hard, I work hard, everything would pay off in the game. And I wanted to be one of the best in Chief history.
I mean, and check, check, check. I think that whole list sounds like you accomplished it. You said three words, though, that I was going to ask you about. So I'm glad that you mentioned it. You mentioned when you played, like you wanted to end up in the Hall of Fame. And your career is so interesting because I don't know how much you've looked back on as some of the newer, like new age analytics and numbers and way of measuring running backs go. People are using that over the last 20 years. And there's one chart in particular that I have seen go around many times where you are literally in a class by yourself. Like there are incredible running backs a mile behind what you were able to accomplish. So have you followed up on any of that? Do you take any pride from seeing your career viewed that way through a new lens? And also, do you need someone to personally head up your Hall of Fame campaign? I know a lot of people who'd be happy to help.
Oh, man. I would love everybody to help me out on that note. But, you know what I'm saying? My goal was, my story is so unique because I was the first of all kind, I feel like. And when I say first of all kind, I was the first person that rushed for 1,000 yards basically in 10 games. under 200 carries. So like I kind of brought those numbers up, and also also with the yards per carry, you know what I'm saying, crazy, you know what I'm saying, that I'd be averaging this throughout my careers. I didn't need to touch the ball 25, 30 times a game, you know what I'm saying? And all you just needed, just give me a little crease, a little space, and that's all I needed. So some of the running backs I know ahead of me, you know what I'm saying, that don't really have two all pros, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm the only one in my class, in my draft class, with two all pros, and I really got three all total together with one second team. So I mean it's hard to take things for granted, you know what I'm saying? But it is to take things for granted, you know what I'm saying? Be happy for those things that, you know what I'm saying, that you accomplish. And you're not going to be cocky about it, but that's just show you that, yes, your hard work, you deserve that. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I was trying to do, just basically be a future Hall of Fame.
And again, you're right. Some of the stats that have maybe been taken a little bit for granted from people, stuff like, again, incredible yards per carry averages over your entire career. Maybe we get to a point before too long where people start looking at that and saying, wait a second, I'm sorry, what happened in Kansas City through that time? Because that's unbelievable. One thing that came up a lot whenever I tweeted that I was going to be able to talk to you today. First of all, a lot of people want to know if you're free on Sunday and if you've got 10 or 12 carries in you. But also people were very curious what you feel like you'd be able to do in the Chiefs offense of these last few years, right? You've got Patrick Mahomes changing the quarterback position. Obviously, you spent a bunch of time with Andy Reid, even though you started when Herm Edwards was still in Kansas City. So you saw a lot of different coaches and regime changes and everything. But do you ever look at the Chiefs offense and think, yeah, I could put up, I don't know, 3,000 yards from scrimmage over the course of the season? You got 17 games now, too.
Yeah, I definitely people don't understand that I was starting to become like one of the running back out of the backfield that can catch the ball, you know what I'm saying, that can make things happen in open field. You put me in space, and that's what Coach Reed understood, that this guy can catch the ball like a wide receiver, and then not just catch, he can also hit the home runs and if you give him a space. So I was with the type of offense they running now with Pat at quarterback, I know I would have a lot of, like an Alvin Kamara I'd be having Alvin Kamara years right now. So catching a line of scrimmage, yards from scrimmage wouldn't be no doubt. You know what I'm saying? That's how people use me on Madden. You know what I'm saying? Just catching, just running straight goals.
I was going to actually ask about current running backs that you look at as playing a similar style. Kamara, it seemed like the best comparison. There's some great running backs in the league right now, but in terms of being able to catch the ball like you were doing, he's got to be the closest comparison, right?
Yeah, Kamara is more like an athlete, you know what I'm saying? They line him at wide receiver. They do jet sweeps with him. They do a lot of screens with him. They put him out in space. I like the way they use Alvin Kamara. I think that's the way I would have went. I feel like they would have used me as well. You know, when anytime they need to run, you know, he can make the big runs. One kid I know that's coming along right now is Jonathan Taylor right now for the Indiana Colts. This guy is explosive too, man. So he's scary too, man. When he get in open field, he know how to smell the end zone. So him and you have, you know, Derrick Henry, you know what I'm saying? Even though he started that he had a season injury, but man, this guy here is a different, he's a monster on a football field. His size, his strength, his speed, his arms, it's crazy.
Yeah, he could have come straight out of a Marvel movie. Like, he just doesn't. Yeah. He makes other NFL football players look small and slow. I know they're not. I know no one playing NFL football is small or slow. But
slow.
He has that effect on people. You mentioned that Andy Reid was kind of the guy who went, wait a second, this guy can run and catch passes like a receiver. You also, you know, were here that first year with him and Alex, several years after as well. But specifically in that first year, whenever obviously the team had been struggling for a while to really get a foothold, and then Andy Reid comes in and kind of takes over the organization. What was that like, and what was your sort of first few experiences with Andy Reid like? How did you guys' relationship evolve?
Oh, man, we had some bumpy roads. because Reid, he's basically a coach's player, coach, where basically, like, he loved his players. He talked to his players. He communicated with his players. He's honest with his players. That's why so many people like him a lot, because, you know, one day Coach Reid called me in the office, hey, I got these five plays right here on the board right here. We thinking about giving you the ball right here. Just like, you know what I'm saying? Never had no coach come approach me like this and, hey, come talk to me in the office. I got these plays drawn up just for you. And I'm like, I'm hyped up, you know what I'm saying? So stuff like that. And Coach Reid, you know what I'm saying, he do it his way, and he know his way is successful. And I know Coach Reid, you know what I'm saying, he have the players that are leaders in the locker room. He depend on the leaders in the locker room to get the players together. And because a player like Pat, a lot of people look up to him. Player like Travis, Tyreek Hill, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, Frank, a lot of people look up in the locker room. So he goes to those core guys that people know that, you know what I'm saying, this day team. And the other guy, the team, the guys that he's volunteered to be coach, to be that come to him, he let them go talk to them guys. And if they have any issues, those 10 guys come to Coach Reid, and that we all throw out what's the deal going in the locker room, and he listen. And then he'll make some adjustments, and then that's how good he is, instead of a coach that's just rebelling against his players.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you said you've never had a coach that's had you come in and be like, hey, look at these plays on the board or whatever. But what about that second aspect of, you know, using the word rebelling against their players? Like, it seems like there can be that sort of tension in organizations that are spiraling. Did you have a time whenever you went, man, this is not a good dynamic, that made you kind of appreciate the better dynamic that Reid and all of his guys brought?
Yeah, my first year there, you know, so I feel like it was Coach Herman. You know, he was a good coach. But I feel like all the pieces he put together as a coaching staff, it just wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, coaches, you know, you got certain coaches come in, think they the man, and think they this and that. And that didn't work, you know what I'm saying? So next we had
Haley was after was Coach Haley, Haley right after, you know, that,
Coach Haley, a good coach, but he was so arrogant as a coach where, you know what I'm saying, he don't like his beat. They're not saying like the player, he talked to his players crazy. It's his way, he's not taking your opinions, you know what I'm saying? Basically, so players are not feeling him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it's not working. And you know what I'm saying, I felt bad for Coach.
Romeo.
Coach Romeo came in. It was, you know what I'm saying, he's so friendly, he's so nice, but he didn't have that chance to get that, you know, another year. Yeah. And then that's when Coach Andy Reid came, and it was just like, dang, it was just like, man, where you been all my career? So
yeah, that's how a lot of Chiefs fans felt also. You had that in common with a lot of people watching those coaches and then eventually having Andy get the
job. Yeah. So I shout out for, like, the Hunts family for able to make that approach, because that changed the dynasty of the franchise of bringing somebody like Coach Reid that know how in and out O's and X's and O's about football, know how to teach his players, know how to put his players in position where let them be them. You know what I'm saying? All these other coaches is like, we're going to put you in this mold. I'm going to mold you like I want you, instead of Coach Reid He let you be your own identity. That's you. You know what I'm saying? Be your own person. That's, I never heard nobody say that when it came to the Chief. He's like, be yourself. I'm like, what? He's like, I can be myself? All these other, I can be myself. So it felt good to able to, like, it was a release of freedom, basically. Yeah. Basically, like, just active, like your character, like you're supposed to be. It's your character. And don't do nothing else. Be yourself.
Yeah. That's awesome. And it also is something that Eric Bieniemy has talked about some. I know he's your running backs coach whenever Andy Reid came to town. Now he's obviously the offensive coordinator. He's had some head coaching buzz and everything. I know we got to get you out of here quickly, so I'm going to get a few rapid fire questions at you, and then we'll talk about Main Event one more time. We'll get you out of here. First, do you have an Eric Bieniemy story where you kind of got a feel of what that dude is generally about? Because he is very good now at talking at the podium like a coach.
Yeah,
I know he does not always talk that way.
Nah, because Bieniemy never talks that way. He definitely mature and calm down. You know what I'm saying? He's got better things. I still talk to Bieniemy, but me and Bieniemy used to always butt head, boom, at practice, in each other fight, about to fight. You know what I'm saying? He's that coach, but I think he brought the best out of me, though. You know what I'm saying? Coach Bieniemy, he don't do nothing to basically. He still, you know, we might fight, but he still, hey, let's go out to eat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He still act like a homeboy then and day. Like, go come to my house and see my family, eat barbecue, let's cook and have drinks together. But you know what I'm saying? A lot of people would say Coach Bieniemy as like a mean coach, but he's just one of them coaches just that, you know what I'm saying? He wants the best for you. That's the first coach that ever told me about details. That's the first coach. No other coach never told me about details with Coach Bieniemy. Wow. I didn't know how to spell details when Coach Bieniemy came here. And he taught me so much detail throughout my career that, you know, that you can see when him and Coach Reid came together, the details of the game changed my plan from football. That's how I improved so much because he brought the details. And that's how I know that's why I passed successful because I know Coach Bieniemy is teaching about detail. It only takes a little. All you need in football is a little inch of detail that can help you advance your career. And I know that's what Bieniemy did to all the players on offense, from Tyreek Hill, from Travis, from Pat Hills.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. And again, a side of Bieniemy that he doesn't always bring that. He's never tried to fight any of us in the media room, you know? We've never had that, which is probably for the best.
Go ahead.
No, you please. We're gonna get to talk to him. I'm gonna get to talk to him later today. So if you've got anything you'd like me to pass along, I'd be happy to.
I just tell him Jamal said one day we had gotten an argument and I stormed off the room to go to Coach Andy Reid. Man, I want him gone. I want him gone. Coach Andy Reid didn't say nothing. I was like, man, Coach Reid loved Coach Bieniemy, man. So I couldn't get Bieniemy out of there. I know Coach Reid can't get him out of there right now.
That's so good. I'll see if he's got anything for us on that today. I'll see if we can get that to him. I'm sure he'll be happy to hear about that. A few Twitter questions I'll rip off real quick. What was your favorite play type? Favorite type of play to run in your time with the Chiefs?
Stretch plays, zones. Not in the gun, just like underneath the center, quarterback handing off to me in zone.
Who wins a race between you and Tyreek Hill at each of your fastest?
I say Tyreek.
What if you both have to carry a football with you?
I say me.
Okay, that's what I was hoping for. What's your favorite TV show? What have you been watching in the last year?
I've been watching Too Hot to Handle.
Really? Okay. And then I already asked you your favorite thing at Main Event, but I should at least say one more time. Everybody else can go find their favorite thing at Main Event because you've partnered with the Main Event in the Kansas City area through November 30th. The Jamal Charles Family Package is $24.99 per person, includes one VR game, one $10 game card, one unlimited activity like bowling, billiards, or laser tag, unlimited fountain drinks, and one large pizza for the group. Again, there are locations in Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, and Olathe. Jamal, thank you very much for making the time today. Anything else about Main Event that you want to tell people about here today?
No, I mean, I personally love Main Event. All the times with my family, always a blast when I go there with the kids and friends and family. It's good for old kids and adults and as active always activities to do for everybody. And I just want to thank Main Event for the partnership.
Awesome. Well, Jamal, I want to thank you for taking some time to talk to us here today. I look forward to seeing you out there. Let's go 5 to 10 carries on Sunday. I'm just going to not let you shoot it down. I'm just going to report exclusively. Jamal Charles could be back. Another 1 day deal with the Chiefs. Maybe.
It just depends on after the next day, though. My knees are probably.
Thank you, Jamal. Hopefully we get to chat again soon.
All right. Thank you.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
If I would have had to have bet my life in the game yesterday, I would have been dead today.
With Joshua Briscoe.
But I'm not really. Damn.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks again to Jamal Charles for joining us. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation. It looks like at least some of those folks in the Twitch chat did. Thank you, everyone who said good things in there so far. And to the one, you know, spam bot in our YouTube comments, glad you enjoyed it as well. I want to tell you real quick again, I'm going to give you one more time because Jamal Charles joined us on behalf of Main Event. I want to tell you again some of the details here of the Jamal Charles package. I'll tell you what, if you go to Main Event and you get the Jamal Charles package, tell him Almost Entirely Sports sent you. I don't think that will do anything, but it would sound good to say.
Whisper it gently into their ears.
Please go up and say hi, like the Jamal Charles package. Joshua Briscoe sent me.
Put your hand on their shoulder, get real close, and just say, Almost Entirely Sports sent us.
I didn't even like you doing that into the microphone. That was unpleasant for me. So this is, again, at Main Events in the Kansas City area through November 30th. So the rest of the month, the Jamal Charles family package is $24.99 per person. Includes a VR game, a $10 game card, an unlimited activity like bowling, billiards, or laser tag, an unlimited fountain drink, and a large pizza for the group. That's at the three Main Event locations, one in Kansas City, Missouri, one in Olathe, one in Independence. So if you want to go, it's a great deal. And I have not been in a while.
I went there for my cousin's graduation like May.
Oh, really?
So like it's been a minute, but not that long. I was like, yeah, it's
great.
We did all those things.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Didn't you and I go shoot a video at one?
That was Dave and Buster's.
Well, now I feel like a fool. You know what? That was Dave and Buster's, which sucks because Main Event rules.
Yeah, it does.
That other place has the
lighting was poor.
Has the Peyton Hillis package. That's unfair to Peyton Hillis. But seriously, if you haven't been to Main Event, whenever we went, we didn't do anything fun. That other place, which went and shot a video and then left. So that was the last time I'd been there. I went once for like a friend's birthday, and I mentioned when talking to Jamal there that I did the sky gravity rope thing, and I just reinforced in me how big of a weenie I am. Because it is, but like I feel like everyone should do it because it is such a wild feeling. The whole thing is great though. I really do enjoy Main Event, and I also enjoyed talking to Jamal Charles. He told that story there about Eric Bieniemy. And some of the times that they would butt heads and the times that you would end up at odds to the point of going into Andy Reid's office and saying, you got to get rid of this guy. I was able to talk to Jamal on Thursday, so 6 days ago. Conveniently, we had that chat the morning before I went out to Chiefs press conferences for Chiefs Coordinator Day, and Eric Bieniemy took the podium. And so I got to, with the proper context, of course, tell him that I just had a chance to talk to Jamal Charles, that he spoke very highly of him, which is absolutely true, but also told me a little bit of a story about a time that they butted heads to the extent that he tried to get Eric Bieniemy kicked all the way out of here. And Eric Bieniemy had a lot of good stuff to say about that and about Jamal.
Well, here's the thing. So first of all, I always tell my guys, I coach hard, but I coach fair, okay? I'm going to be your biggest fan, but I'm also going to be your harshest critic. And so the thing that we're going to do is make sure that we're accountable to one another, because my job is to make sure I'm preparing you to be at your best. And sometimes, you know, players miss the love that you have for them when you're giving them constructive criticism. Now, that constructive criticism can come from me in a very, very unique way. And so I like to think it's special with care and all that. But the unique part about it, Jamal was a dynamic football player. On top of that, Jamal is probably one of the best people that I've had an opportunity to work with. So, you know, it was a very, very fun opportunity. And the thing about it, you count your blessings, because I was blessed and fortunate to have an opportunity to work with Jamal. And I'm sure he probably felt the same about me. But he made me a better coach. And on top of that, he made me a better person.
Just a good clip. I love getting to hear a little bit of those stories from both angles there. One is because, man, you never find out that the star running back tried to get the running back coach. And I was going to say try to get the running back coach fired. I did not get the feeling in any way this was a master plan of, like, you know, sabotage and weeks. It was a heated moment. And you never get that kind of, like, vulnerable part of the conversation from anybody until way after the fact. And then you so rarely get to hear the coach's side of it. And then you also understand that at the end of it, you know, I mean, Jamal said, like, they still they'll text each other. You know, they have this immense respect for each other. But to get a little snapshot of the rocky parts early on as they're figuring each other out, and as Eric Bieniemy is an incredibly unique coach, particularly in the Chiefs ecosystem, where for Jamal Charles to talk about, as he did in our conversation there, to talk about how jarring it was for coaches to tell him that he should be himself, I just thought was such a special thing. Because around here, it's literally a joke a little bit of, you know, what Eric Bieniemy is very good at his coach speak, even though that's a very different version. That's a small portion of Eric Bieniemy, right? But he'll have all of these various phrases, and every once in a while he'll hit you with a let your beautiful personality show. I remember making a joke the first time I heard him say that I wanted that embroidered on a pillow. And I say joke, and only barely. Because it's honestly great. But the thing that it makes sense, but the thing I don't think I necessarily realize right out of the gate is how rare it is.
As I say, yeah, in a league in where personality is frowned upon.
Yeah.
In so many situations, like vast majority of the time, having a personality is considered a negative. I mean, Tom Brady he is the greatest quarterback to ever play this game. He might be the best football player to ever play this game. And Bill Belichick did not want him to have any sort of personality. And to Tom Brady's credit, he really didn't.
Yep.
And then he went off to college. Now he's just living his best life.
To go from Todd Haley, there's a little Romeo Crennel in there. Like Jamal said, very nice man who just never really got a full chance to get his whole deal in there. I thought, you know, that's totally fair. But to essentially go from Todd Haley to Andy Reid, in that context, it all makes more sense. That's something that would not apply to every single coaching staff or to every player or whatever. And I can't imagine what it was like to be one of two players on the offensive side of the football, really, at least skill position guys, who are excellent at their job for any period of time, because Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe both were for a little bit. They overlapped a little bit there. Obviously, Dwayne Bowe didn't have the sustained success of Jamal Charles, but I'm also never going to pretend to be objective about Dwayne Bowe.
Love Dwayne Bowe.
He was great on the team that I rooted for in the most
fantastic,
impressionable part of my football watching life.
Was it 2011? Was that the Pro Bowl year?
I don't know. It was
2010?
Magical. I had him on every fantasy team because I was irrational about him even before that.
He was great. My first memory of Dwayne Bowe is a ball that looked like it was clearly being thrown to Tony Gonzalez, and him essentially cutting in front of Tony Gonzalez to catch it. I was just like, hell yeah.
Is it weird to remember Dwayne Bowe and Tony Gonzalez being on the same team?
Yeah,
like that feels like two different eras.
Absolutely,
that's jarring to me. That I want to fact check you. Like, wait a second, when was Tony Gonzalez's last year? And I've done that with Jamaal Charles for years now. If you say quick, take a snapshot of the field with Jamaal Charles on it. Who just handed him the football and who's on the sideline? I'd say, Matt Castle handed him the football and Todd Haley is over there on the sideline. And maybe it's because he was the only real bright spot of those times for the most part and was obviously so clearly the most dynamic thing on the field during that time that maybe that just is sort of what washes over you. Maybe that's what is the easiest thing to remember. But Jamaal Charles in the Andy Reid and Alex Smith offense was borderline unstoppable. And so there's a little bit there from Jamaal on two fronts, on the coaching and actually seeing your players' personalities as their strengths front, because I think that is, again, something that's pretty consistent throughout the Andy Reid coaching tree. I think Matt Nagy, I think, is the one that has just like BU written on his laminated play sheet. Not that he's been incredibly successful in Chicago or whatever, but that trait going through the Andy Reid coaching tree. There's that side of it. And there's also Jamaal giving them credit, giving Andy Reid credit for like, oh, wait a second. This dude catches the football like a receiver, and we can use that. I know we've had this conversation with our dear friend Seth Kaiser multiple times, but it feels apt to mention it again now. And it's clear that that Jamaal Charles would love this honor, which everyone would, but I thought he brought it up before I did, and I was planning on bringing it up. Jamaal Charles belongs in the Hall of Fame to me.
Absolutely.
There are two running backs with very different potential paths to Canton, and I think they should both be there. Jamaal Charles was one of the most outrageous things any of us have ever seen on a football field. He didn't do it consistently for a decade because of injuries, but he played the running back position at a level that literally no one else in this era of football has ever even gotten close to.
And the problem is that to the mass, I would say the mass consensus is he wasn't even the best running back of his time in the NFL. It was Adrian Peterson, even though it was Jamaal Charles. But it's just Adrian Peterson was the guy, right? He was the guy who got all the he got all the attention. And part of that is because he tore his ACL and then 4 months later ran for 2,000 yards.
Right.
Super impressive. Dude is a Hall of Famer. He is an NFL Hall of Famer. Jamaal Charles was doing things that even Adrian Peterson wasn't doing, but he never fully got that respect, in part because of Adrian Peterson, and part because the Chiefs were just kind of meh.
That is, I think, a huge part of it.
Yes. He was
and
never
Adrian
on,
Peterson was a superstar in college and was able to ride that wave, and again,
he
rightfully
was never
so.
On that spotlight. And honestly, Jamaal Charles was... Jamaal Charles had to deal with Adrian Peterson a lot because he was overshadowed a bit in college because of Adrian Peterson.
Good point.
AP was at Oklahoma, he was at Texas.
Two SEC powerhouses.
But Jamaal Charles is absolutely, and especially for a position which I feel like you would think, especially now where we just recognize that most people's philosophy is you draft a running back, you have him for his rookie deal, and that's 4 or 5 years, and then you let him go because they're just going to fall off a cliff because that's just the nature of the position. It's not the running back's fault. That's just how the position is because it's such a violent, physical position.
Which, again, I think, I mentioned this to him, and he sort of validated that this feels good, but some of the ways we look at the running back position now only amplify how outrageously dominant he was at that position, which is an incredibly difficult place to be dominant at.
Yeah, and you would think that, you would hope that there would be this understanding that, you know what, you don't have to be elite as a running back for 10 years because it's almost impossible to be elite as a running back for 10 years, especially in this NFL.
That's right.
It was a little bit easier in the 80s when literally that's just guy, and not to knock on an 80s running back, but it was just whether even if a guy was kind of washed, he got 400 carries a year, it seemed like, right?
Yeah.
So it was easy to add up those numbers a little bit more. And it was just, that's just how NFL is a different beast back then compared to now.
Also,
Charles made an impact in a way that running backs do not make impacts anymore.
5 out of 6 consecutive years, he had over 1,300 yards from scrimmage. The only year he didn't was when he got hurt in week two. Or whatever it was.
And it's also, it's the, like, the yards per carry stat has always been the thing. Like, that to me should be like the, this is, the, more than anything, it's like, hey,
it's
this
outrageous.
Is why. Because he was doing things that, like, Jim Brown wasn't doing.
He averaged 5.4 yards per carry on his career. He averaged 6.4 in 2010, 6.9 in 2011.
And a lot of that, he was averaging over 6. If it wasn't for him, honestly, just trying to play in the NFL for the last, like, 3 years of his career or whatever. Like, there was a time where he was over, I think he was over 6 for his career, maybe? Like, or he was, like,
top. So from that stretch of 09 through 14, he was... is 5.5. So really, it actually it ended up evening out pretty quick. That those last few years didn't. He didn't end up honestly getting as many
as
touches
carries,
there.
Yeah.
So it. And, I mean, it's helped. Crazy that in Denver he averaged 4.3 on his 69 carries. It's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice.
The other running back, by the way, that with a very different path that I think should be in the Hall of Fame is Frank Gore.
Yeah,
who's boxing now? By
Fighter
the way.
Frank Gore.
Because like it's they have almost inverse arguments where Frank Gore just was able to be very 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 good for an incredibly long time, was able to stay healthy through all that. Jamaal Charles, and again, I don't even want to say that I don't want people to forget or to think, well, he was incredible for 2 years or something like that.
No, yeah, because it was
2009 through 2014, that 6 year span, there was the 1 year stolen by injuries. Outside of that, dude was a monster.
I mean, and again, this is the thing that hurts Jamaal Charles because why am I just now drawing a my mind's gone blank on the Denver Broncos running back who got in the Hall of Fame just a couple years ago, played with Elway.
Terrell Davis.
Davis had a similar type of career.
Yeah.
It was not long. It was short. He won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And that, right, like he was the running back of that generation. He was the running back of the NFL at that time. And unfortunately, Jamaal Charles got overshadowed by Adrian Peterson and the lack of playoff success.
And was on that stage.
And if he's in the playoffs, right, like if he has big playoff runs, then he might overshadow than Adrian Peterson. But, you know.
I would like to refute that comparison on Terrell Davis here.
Because wasn't Terrell Davis like...
Because Terrell Davis could not hold a candle.
No, I'm not...
He's a Hall of Famer now.
Yes.
He's a Hall of Famer. Here, everyone just listen to me.
Because Jamaal has better numbers than him last time I looked.
The first 4 years of his career, Terrell Davis was stupendous. If you go yards from scrimmage, there's about 1,500 yards, 1,800 yards, and then 2 years back-to-back with over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. That's crazy.
Yep.
Over a four-year span. And then he had about 1,000 all-purpose yards the rest of his career.
His knees, like Jamaal started having knee injuries, his knees went. But the thing that benefited him... Super Bowls.
He won Super Bowls during those years.
And he was, for those 4 years, he was viewed as the guy. And again, and this is where you go back to the Adrian Peterson, and that hurts Jamaal and the team not being all that great. They weren't bad there towards the end of like his last like 2 great years. The Chiefs were good, but they weren't great. Like, right, they were losing to the Colts.
Yes.
Like, there was that game.
The 4 years of Terrell Davis being incredible are incredible. Again, these are some very, very good stat lines. But he had 8,887 yards from scrimmage. Can we just give Terrell Davis one more yard, please? And Jamaal ended up over 10,000.
Yeah.
He's a 10,000 yards from scrimmage player.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
And if longevity matters at all there, like the fact that he was able to get another 1,000 yards his second to last year in Kansas City on still very limited work, got another 400 and change with the Broncos in 2017, give him the boost for that.
He should be in the Hall of Fame because, again, like for 6 years, and it was obviously 5 out of 6, but for a 6-year stretch, he did things we've never seen a running back do in the NFL before.
Yeah.
And Frank Gore should be in because he did something we've almost never
seen before
also by just being a good running back. Like, to be in the Hall of Fame, you need to at least be elite at something. Frank Gore's elite ability was to be out there.
His elite ability was elite ability.
Yes. And yeah. It's just like, it's outstanding.
I like that as a litmus test for Hall of Fame eligibility. What did you do that no one else did?
I also think it's fair to just adjust things to the position, right? Like,
yeah,
a running back being elite for 5 years is a long time for a running back.
Yep.
It just doesn't happen often. I mean, again, like, look at Derrick Henry, right? Like, the last 18 months, he's done some absurd things, right? Like, he has done some things that you just don't see very often, right? He's been kind of a unicorn in a way.
Yep.
And now he's probably out for the rest of the year. Because, like, that's just how running back goes.
And you know who's there to pick it up from where he left off?
Adrian Peterson.
Adrian bleeping Peterson in 2021. It's ridiculous.
Kudos to Adrian. Jamal should go in the Hall of Fame. I totally understand that, like, he definitely won't be a first ballot Hall of Famer. It'll be a crime if, like, a day doesn't come where he's alive and he gets into the Hall of Fame. Because, like, it should 100% happen.
It's hard for me to even think of a good comparison in any other form. I guess, honestly, I kind of think in a bizarre way Frank Gore is the right thing to play through there. Because it's not just something that you go... Adrian Peterson is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yep. How many running backs are going to be? You know, like, because right now, I don't think you can say almost anyone who's active, you know, at the top of the game right now, because you don't know what Nick Chubb's going to look like in 2 years.
I think the best candidate just got hurt for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, again, because Derrick Henry, obviously, he has a 2,000-yard season last year, and then he was on pace to eclipse, I think, everything this year. You post back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. Who knows what you do even for the next 2 years. But again, like, now he's hurt for the rest of the year, right? Like he's no longer going to have that back-to-back 2,000-yard rushing season, like, in his career because of injuries.
And if the long-term stuff matters, Derrick Henry has about 7,600 total yards from scrimmage to Jamaal Charles being over 10,000. If Derrick Henry never played again, he would get Hall of Fame votes.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I would get it. Or if he just was never the same. And again, Jamaal Charles had ACL injuries, plural. It was ACLs both times, yes. Right?
One of them, too, if I remember right, like, cause I feel like I can see it.
Is it the step?
Against the Lions, like, out of bounds?
Yes.
Out of bounds?
I think he stepped on the first down marker,
yes,
on the ground.
Because he, like, slid a little bit.
It's nice to know that both of us have let that. I wonder if he's let that. I think he seems more at peace about that than I have, than you or I do right now.
I can picture it in my head,
yeah,
man. I can see the play.
Yeah, it's haunting. So frustrating. But if Derrick Henry had a couple of years, maybe he has a lesser year with Tennessee next year, and then he gets hurt again and he ends up going somewhere else for a couple of years, you could say, hey, tell me who has done football like Derrick Henry. I'm like, I don't know, probably not many people. So should he be a Hall of Famer? Yeah, maybe. I'm good with it. That maybe, you know, maybe
and
that's
like,
the
and
argument.
And that's part of the story, right? So, like, if for Jamal, it's the fact that, hey, like, he wasn't an elite running back for 10 years because of injuries. Like, that's part of the story. Before these 5 years... I mean, again, it's part of Terrell Davis' story, right? No, nobody's going like, well, Terrell Davis was the best running back in the NFL for 12 years. Like, no.
No.
He was elite for four, won two Super Bowls, had some amazing moments, and then his knees went. And, like, that's part of the story.
Yeah.
Not every story has to be the same. And then, you know, it's, oh, guy played 15 years in the NFL. Like, not every story has to be Emmitt Smith. Dude
right.
just was in the NFL forever. And was good for forever, right? Like, he was like Frank Gore in the sense that he was in the league forever, but he played at an insanely high level for pretty much all those years until he went to Arizona. And even then, he wasn't bad.
Yeah.
He was just, but he became just like an average running back, which at 40 or however old he was, impressive. It's okay to just be like, hey, yeah, this guy had an elite stretch. Injuries cut it short. That sucks. Let's remember him. Because he was great.
I wish Jamaal Charles was on this
just
offense,
one
man.
Year with Patrick. That's all I wanted. Just
and honestly, this maybe I'm getting soft in my old age. But yesterday, you know, when we talked to Seth, there was some talk about like the couple of times that Darrell Williams or Jerick McKinnon didn't fully take advantage of a situation, couldn't completely make a play, and maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire would have, and maybe not. You know, it is what it is, but. For Jamaal Charles to be the guy that is getting some of this. Just imagine specifically with how this year has gone, with some of the shorter stuff, you get to pick the one of a incredibly small handful, if not the one of one running backs of this era that has mattered. and he's the guy that gets to take advantage of some of those matchups. He's the guy that gets to take some of the short stuff in the backfield because the safeties are a mile and a half away. So you can dump the ball out of the into the flat to Jamal Charles. I would enjoy seeing that. But honestly, like, I feel lucky to have gotten to see him in his prime when we did. So, we need to take a break. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and I'll probably just be, you know, wistful about this fictional offense I'm building again for a couple minutes. And then in a little while, Kit Swanson of KC Sports Network will join us. That's in about 10 minutes from here on Almost Entirely Sports. This is basically just a promo of me telling you Kit Swanson's about a minute away here on Almost Entirely Sports. And you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you again. Main event, the Jamal Charles special. It's good for the three Kansas City area main event locations, KC Mo, Independence, and Olathe. You can get $25 a person, $24.99 actually. I rounded it up by a penny, and I shouldn't have. And you can get a VR game, a $10 game card, unlimited activity on something like bowling, billiards, or laser tag, an unlimited fountain drink, and a large pizza for the group. $25 per person. Just go to one of the Kansas City area main event locations and ask for the Jamal Charles special. And they'll give you a pair of cleats, and then all of a sudden you'll be able to glide on a football field like you're rollerbladed. Nope, hold on. I just read the terms and conditions. That's not actually true. Everything else is, though, which is still pretty amazing. We'll talk about a bunch of other Chiefs stuff with our friend Kit Swanson of KCSN next here on Almost Entirely Sports.